Today on Jesse Duplantis Ministries.
We serve a good God who wants to open our eyes to the opportunities, the God assignments, as difficult as they may seem in the natural, and walk toward that. We're going to look at three bold and very courageous mothers today. You know, when you read the Bible, there's so many wonderful mothers in the Bible that we're all very familiar with. I'm going to talk about three that we're not too familiar with, just to show you that God uses women in such a mighty way, and men as well. But today is Mother's Day, so we're going to give all the mamas the blessing. Well, the men are going to get in on it as well. Amen?
Amen.
Mothers are VIPs. I like to call them that. They're very influential people. Very influential people. They influence families, businesses, nations, the world, and they impact history. They fulfill their God assignment and give us powerful examples of what real motherhood is all about. You know, our nation, as you've been watching the news, is in another crossroads. People are so confused that they can't even define what a woman is. Some have even redefined mothers as birthing people. Lord, give me a break. You know, we need to rise up and demonstrate a rejection of this deception. We have a godly assignment. We've been empowered by His Word to bring instruction and correction to our nation. And when confronted with false teachings, we have to rise up and speak and say what the truth is. Today, over 63 million children have been aborted in the U.S. since the Roe decision. We need to be praying. See, Satan is totally dedicated to destroying God's creation. If he can't kill them in the womb, he will steal their identity. He will kill their dream, and he will destroy their future. That's his plan. If it doesn't succeed on this front, he goes to another, trying to tell them they don't even know whether they're a boy or a girl. But they are made in the image of God, and God does not make any mistakes. What's happening is what happened in the Garden of Eden, where Satan came in with a deception and started speaking into Eve's ear, trying to make her dissatisfied with a beautiful place called the Garden of Eden. And look what happened that day. You see, God gave us His Word to give us the strength to take the right direction. The Holy Spirit came to lead us into deeper into the path of godliness. And He is empowering us to stand for life and to stand against the devil's death plan. Amen? So we need to take our stand and take our watch, and not only be watching and praying, but we need to be speaking out and letting our voices be heard. Amen?
Amen?
Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to look at verse 23. The first brave and courageous mother we're going to look at today is one in the Bible. One of the bravest mothers in the Bible was Jochebed. She was the mother of Moses. We've all heard a whole lot about Moses, but Moses was influenced by a very powerful woman called Jochebed. Am I pronouncing her name right, Betty? She's my go-to theologian. A new king in Egypt was worried about the Hebrews outnumbering the Egyptians, so he made them slaves. The Bible talks about how there rose up another Pharaoh who did not know Joseph. See, Joseph had influence with the Pharaoh at one point and rescued them and helped them, but this new Pharaoh did not know Joseph. And sometimes there are people in authority who don't know the God that we know. This whole nation was founded on with godly men, with godly principles that were influenced by the pastors of the churches of that day. And they spoke out against injustice and they stood for what was right. So this new king in Egypt was not a good king. He commanded all the Hebrew midwives to kill all the Hebrew babies, the baby boys, when they were born. But the midwives did not listen. Jochebed stood for life. And she gave birth to a son and hid him from Pharaoh. Let's read Hebrews chapter 11. Just look at verse 23 right now. Verse in the King James Bible, it says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Now, this wasn't Moses' faith. This was Jochebed's and her husband's faith. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. That's powerful passage right there. You see, this brave mother ignored the order of Pharaoh to murder her baby boy at birth, and she hid him as long as she could. Exodus tells us that Jochebed coated a basket with tar and pitched and placed her baby in it. And then she set it in the reeds along the banks of the Nile. Her daughter Miriam watched over that little small basket with her baby brother in it as it went along. And Pharaoh's daughter, y'all know the story, found the baby crying. And knowing that it was a Hebrew child, she felt sorry for him and picked him up. Miriam saw this and asked her if she would like a Hebrew woman to nurse that baby. The princess agreed, and Jochebed returned with her daughter to nurse her old baby. That's divine providence. You see, Pharaoh's daughter paid. Not only did she just start doing what she really wanted to do, she got paid for it. Pharaoh's daughter paid Jochebed to nurse and raise the baby until he was old enough to come to live with her. And then she adopted him as her son and named him Moses. That was the divine hand of God. It was hard to release that baby into that destiny. You know, I'm sure her heart wanted to rise up and reject it, but God had a plan, and Moses was the deliverer that the nation needed to deliver all the babies. So Jochebed apparently taught Moses many things in that time that she was with him. She imparted what was real to her, which she already knew. Let's read Hebrews chapter 11, continuing in verse 24 through 27. Still in the King James Version of the Bible. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. You see, Moses clearly knew who he was in relation to the Egyptians and the Hebrews. And why? Because Jochebed had fulfilled her God assignment to teach Moses about God. Every child needs someone to teach them about God. That's why we have the children's church, but that's not enough. Just an hour or two on a Sunday morning is not enough. Mothers and fathers need to get busy with it and make sure the kids see the goodness of God, understand the promises of God, and they see it demonstrated and walked out in your own life. Amen? Amen. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. I'm not going to take you too long today because I know all of y'all have plans, and maybe y'all are planning on cooking a meal. I don't cook as much as I used to. Like I tell you, I make reservations. So I want to make sure y'all have that wonderful time fellowshipping with your families and your mamas. And maybe some of you have a distance to go. I had the pleasure of spending an afternoon with my mom on Friday, and I already talked with her this morning. But it's important that you reach out to your moms if they're still here. And those of you who moms are in heaven, we treasure those moments and those wonderful memories that you have, and that know that we're comforted in the fact that one day we'll all be reunited together. Amen? Amen. Number two, the second widow was a widowed mother from Zarephath that was given a God assignment to feed Elijah during a severe drought. Let's read 1 Kings. We're going to read the whole story from 1 Kings chapter 17. Verse 8 through 16. It says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, meaning Elijah, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. This is a difficult situation she's in. And Elijah, verse 13, says unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Notice that first was important. Putting God first, hearing from God first, doing the hard thing first was important. And he said, and bring it to me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Well, according to her testimony, she didn't have enough. She only had enough for her and her son. How could she feed this man and still have that? This was an inkling. This was an indicator of this, that there was more to come. So she did it. Verse 14 says, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did. Those are key words right there. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. You see, this mother and her son were really suffering from the effects of this rampant drought. And when we have difficulty in life, whether it be a drought or high prices at the grocery store or high prices at the gas pump, we have a decision to make, whether we're going to keep God first or we're going to listen to our own mind and our own thoughts. But when we put God first and put him first in every part of our life, we can know that God will multiply back to us and provide for us like he promised. Amen? You see, this woman's hunger was overwhelming, but her faith in God was greater. She used up the last of her ingredients to make a meal for Elijah. And because of that, her obedience to her God assignment produced supernatural increase that fed her, her son, and Elijah until that entire drought was over. You see, God has a way to get it to you if you will just obey him. And so when we obey him, in fact, this was her opportunity. She could have rolled her eyes and just kept on walking. She could have ignored him. But the words that he spoke arrested her heart. And she was impacted beyond measure. She couldn't stop listening. This was her opportunity to get out of that devastation that she was in. She was just going to have one meal and then she was going to die. But here it is. She had an opportunity for her future to be opened up. And it was a God assignment. We often overlook the God assignments that God sends our way. Opportunities that he gives to us that prepare us for that next step down the road that we don't even see, but he sees it. So we need to be sharper. We need to wake up and realize that even though difficulties are down the road, we serve a good God who wants to open our eyes to the opportunities, the God assignments, as difficult as they may seem in the natural, and walk toward that. And when we do, God can open up those windows of heaven. We have it all over the Word of God. He can pour out a blessing so great you won't even be able to contain it. Just think about simple things like when your taxes came due. And Jesus said, go fishing, Peter. And Peter went and got that first fish, and there was a gold piece in there, enough to pay the taxes for both of them. There's no limit. God can see to it that it comes to you if you'll put him first. Her obedience to God produced, for her God assignment, produced supernatural increase that fed her, her son, and Elijah until that drought was over. That was a severe drought that was on the land because of the nation's disobedience. So even when the nation is working in disobedience, God has some people in his nation that can rise up and say and do what needs to be said and done so that his people can survive and even thrive in that situation. Amen. That was enough for her whole household. I'm sure the neighbors must have saw it. It was a testimony for God. Amen. She was a great, courageous, and brave woman to obey God when things looked impossible like that. And listen, because of that, her life was changed. And here we are talking about her. We're going to look at our third mother in 1 Kings chapter 3. Y'all learning anything?
Yes.
1 Kings chapter 3, turn there. You know, the most famous example of the wisdom of Solomon involves a nameless mother. We all know about Solomon, how he offered up 1,000 offerings to God, and he came to God, and God came to him in the night, and he says, "What will I give to you?" And he could have asked anything, but he says, "Lord, give me wisdom so that I may be able to lead these people." And God answered him and said, "Because you have not asked for riches and wealth and glory and all that," he says, "I'm going to give you all those things, but I'm going to give you wisdom, so much great wisdom no one has ever had before." And this is the first example of it when you read that in the Bible. You see, this is a story of two women who were prostitutes that gave birth to boys 3 days apart. One of the women accidentally smothered her son and switched the babies in the middle of the night. In the morning, the nameless mother of the living noticed the switch, but the mother of the dead child refused to return him. So this matter was brought before King Solomon, who responded with wisdom that revealed who the true mother was. Let's read 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning in verse 24. Also in the King James Bible, it reads, "And the king said, 'Bring me a sword.' And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, 'Divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other.' Then spake the woman whose the living child was to the king, for her bowels yearned for her upon her son. And she said, 'Oh, my Lord, give her the living child and no wise slay it.' But the other said, 'Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it.' Then the king answered and said, 'Give her the living child and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof.'" You see, the true mother was the one who'd rather give up her child than have him killed. A true mother will never give up her child the way this woman was threatened with. She would rather him go somewhere. She was a brave, courageous woman. She would rather not live with her child rather than see him be destroyed. And that reveals the heart. You see, this nameless mother and this widow of Zarephath and Jochebed all demonstrated sacrificial love. And this is really what it's all about. God has called us to stand in the gap and be the mothers for our nation, mothers to other people who don't even know which way to go. I am so shocked by some of the things that I'm seeing that are posted at different places, that people are just have no internal compass. They have no idea what they're doing. And so our assignment is to not get upset, but to continue to walk in love and bring truth and wisdom to a situation. Amen? Amen. God has called us and given us a voice that needs to be proclaimed. No one needs more condemnation. They need to be surrounded with the love and the peace and the strength that only a mother can give. And when we demonstrate this kind of awesome love, we are truly demonstrating the amazing love of our Heavenly Father. No one can love the way God does unless you have Him in your heart. We're going to turn to our final verse of Scripture. I'm giving you really a lot of time to be with Mama today. Final Scripture in John 3:16. You see, mothers have a God assignment to be a giver of life. And a real mother's love reveals the heart of God to us and helps us to discover our God assignment to believe God. Even those who have, I mean, there are people that I know that I'm thinking about now that had a God assignment to have a child, and the enemy would come to them and tell them, "Oh, that'll never happen. You can't have any," the doctors would say. And then we've had them come to us time and time again and prayed and saw miracles happen. So many testimonies how God has healed people and they were able to become the mother and fulfill the God assignment that God gave them. Amen? I'm looking at Betty here. I didn't plan to say this, but Betty was married like 14 years. Jesse was regularly preaching in their church and he does the evangelistic meetings every year. And he said, had a word of knowledge for her that said, and that Betty had already had a child, so Jesse didn't know that there was any kind of a medical issue. And he said, when I come back here next year, because he came back every year about the same time for a revival, for a full week of meetings. And he says, I'm going to dedicate you a baby. And so the whole church kind of sucked in the air because they didn't know. They knew something that Jesse didn't know. And so Betty had been married 14 years and had not had her own. Now, Tanis is here in the house today somewhere. Is she here? Normally she's here. She's usually. Anyway, Tanis, her daughter is, how old is Tanis now? Does she mind us saying? 38. So here it is. So he comes back and he was able to dedicate Tanis to the Lord. And then years later, when Tanis had her first child, we were honored with the blessing in Texas to dedicate Tanis's firstborn, which was Abby, to the Lord. And so God is so wonderful that these God assignments got established because his word was put first place. Amen. I have a little niece who was told that all she ever wanted to do was be a mom. And Tammy Jo wanted to be a mom. I remember she went to the doctor, and the doctor told her she couldn't have any children, and she called us our office. And so we said, you come up here, and we prayed for her. And I think within a year, her little firstborn was born. Well, very close to that time. It was so special. I mean, we could go on and on. We had a dear friend of ours in when we first started out in ministry that would travel along with us, and she wanted to have babies. That was Cindy Bunch. Cindy Bunch wanted to have children, and she couldn't. The doctor told her she could never have children because she had endometriosis. And so we prayed and believed God, and not too long afterwards, here she had the first baby. I think her name was Courtney. And then she had another one 11 months later. And then she had another one 11 months later. I think it was something like that. And her husband came to us and said, we need to do something. He said, Jesse said, quit sowing. He says, I can't do that. But we got a letter from Courtney, the firstborn, and I think she wrote me a letter that she's in the full-time evangelistic ministry, this young woman, who the doctor said would never be here. That was a God assignment. Amen? Amen. And I remember a few years back, Jesse and I were in Texas, and Jesse was preaching, and he told the people, asked them a question, what do you want God to do for you? And he was asking a few specific questions, and one or two said different things. Well, he came to one that said, I'd like to have a child. I haven't been able to have a child in he started saying, that's easy. And he says, let me tell you about Cindy and Carol Bunch. So he starts telling this story that I just told you, not realizing that Cindy and Carol were in the same auditorium just off to the side. And they said, she started standing up and raising her hand and waving, it's true, it's true. And so we had a little reunion there because we hadn't seen them in so many years. But there are God assignments all around us waiting to be fulfilled that people have let stay on a shelf because they've been told a lie. They've been told that it will never happen. They've been told that your dream can't come true. But we serve a God who fulfills dreams. He's a God who wants to breathe life to life, resuscitation into that dream that you've let lay us on the shelf. Your dream may not be a child. Your dream may be a business. It may be a family member being born again. It may be some healing promise that you're believing for. Regardless of what it is, God is here today wanting to touch you and let you know that that God assignment is still there. Their assignment to believe him for your miracle is still there. And he's the one who will fulfill that miracle if you will trust him and give him your life. Amen? Amen. A real mother's love reveals the heart of God to us and helps us discover our God assignments to believe God.
I'm so excited about our partner offer, Create Your World and Walk in It. It's our theme this year, and it's based on Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can really create your world and walk in it. How? The power of God inside of you. Get your copy at jdm.org. It will change your life. I mean that. Are you ready to get your life changed? Do it now. Did you know that doubt is a habit? Yes, it is. You aren't born a doubter. You learn to doubt over time. In my book, I Never Learned to Doubt, you will learn something. And what is that? To go back in time and regain what was lost so that you can enjoy more peace, more joy, more favor, and more blessing. The wonder of faith is a pure thing. It's a childlike thing. And faith is the only thing that God responds to. When you never learn to doubt, life is so much better. I Never Learned to Doubt. It's my new book. Get it today. What can I say? Happy Mother's Day to all you wonderful mamas out there watching today. I know you were blessed by Kathy's message today. Take it from me. A mother's prayers are powerful. I was a heathen, but my mama never gave up on me. She just nailed me to the wall with the promises of God. And I thank God that Kathy didn't either give up on me. They both got me saved. I want to take a moment to praise and encourage all you wonderful moms out there. Can I pray for you right now, Father, in the name of Jesus? Bless every mother that is watching today. God, I ask you to minister them because, you know, they are such a blessing. Without them, the family just does not exist. Bless each and every one of them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I like praying for mamas. You know, I have a great question to answer on the program today. With a lady named Patsy, she wrote me and said, I'm a brand new mom, and I desperately want to bring up my baby girl loving Jesus. Please tell me how you and Mrs. Kathy started teaching your daughter about Jesus. Did you speak scripture over her all the time? Was there a special way that you planted the word into her? Boy, I can answer that, Patsy, real easy. First, yes, we spoke scripture over her all the time. But what we did was let her see the love of God in me and Kathy. She saw us being a Christian. I didn't really have to say it. She knew it. She saw how Christians should live. Not bragging about that. We wanted her to love Jesus as much as we did, and she does today. You know, she's 53 years old today, and just such a blessing, Lord. And I got a 17-year-old granddaughter, too, that loves the Lord. Praise God. My product card. I love talking about this book. It's entitled, I Never Learned to Doubt. I'll always offer it because, you see, doubt's mental anemia. It's a form of atheism. Listen, doubting God will stop you from receiving from Him. Now, this book here will show you how to shut doubt down. How do I get it? Go to jdm.org. I'm telling you, you don't need doubt. Partners, thank you once again for your faithful financial support. We have big projects going on right now, even as we speak. And it's such a blessing. Your faithful financial support is reaching people, changing lives one soul at a time. I will bring joy and blessing to people, and I've done it for years. Thank you once again for your faithful financial support. Till next week, God bless you. Bye-bye. Vision always runs in advance of your ability to fulfill it. It's always ahead of you, see? But if you say, God chose me, and I'm going to complete this, and I'm going to do this. You're always going to have somebody say, you can't do this, you can't do that, but yet the Bible says you can do all things through Christ. You don't realize how much power you have as a Christian. No matter how old you are, don't you ever quit. And before you know it, you complete your destiny and reach your destination. Create with your mouth an atmosphere, a channel through which advancement flows to your future. You don't need advancement now. You don't need it yesterday. You need it for the future.
Thank you for watching today. For more information about Jesse Duplantis Ministries, go to jdm.org.